I'd like to spend a few moments speaking further on a couple things that our brother Barry spoke of. And I'd like to look at the example given to us in the Old Testament of the purchase of the threshing floor. If we start with 2 Samuel chapter 24. As we go along, perhaps I'll pick up those thoughts that our brother mentioned that I have enjoyed recently. 2 Samuel chapter 24, and let's start with verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servant coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, Where is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arunah as a king unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and burnt and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Now let's turn over to 1 Chronicles for a slightly different perspective on this account. A couple things that are different here. One is the individual name is not Arunah, but his name now is Ornan in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. There are a couple differences here. And I won't read the whole portion, but let's pick up the thought at the 22nd verse. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein. Unto the Lord, thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And the king said to Ornan, Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. please turn now to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37, verse 26. And Judah said to his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Another passage in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Well, I apologize for turning to all these scriptures. There's quite a few to keep in mind. But the thought that I've had before me, I enjoyed portions of it at various times. And there were a couple pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, that I didn't fully understand. And I heeded the advice of a couple younger brothers that spoke at the sing last night. One was getting up, going out early, enjoying nature, enjoying the communion with the Lord that we can have. And another brother suggested that we look above the things around. And this morning, as we were sitting in the remembrance of the Lord, the pieces seem to fall into place, and I'd like to share those with you. If we look at the portion from 2 Samuel 24, David bought the threshing floor, and perhaps it's good to back up a few moments and get the context of these passages. David bought the threshing floor because he had sinned. He had numbered the people, and that was not according to God's mind. He had disobeyed, and because he disobeyed, there was punishment that needed to be rendered. And David was given three choices, and so he made the choice, and consequently, the judgment was carried out. But if we go back, and it can be either into 2 Samuel, or it can be in 1 Chronicles, wherever you have the place marked, it doesn't matter. But if we go back a few verses, something very important is said there. And that is, I'll read from 2 Samuel 24:17. David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, "Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly." Now, if we go to the portions that we read in here in 2 Samuel and in 1 Chronicles regarding the purchase of the threshing floor, they seem almost identical. And at first reading, we may not notice that there's any difference. But there are two very important things that I feel that are good for us to get hold of. One is, keep in mind that in Chronicles we have the Lord, we have God viewing these events from His perspective, and in the other chapters it may be given to us from our perspective. And in 2 Samuel we may have, or we do have, the purchasing of the threshing floor. It said he bought it for 50 pieces of silver. And included in that purchase is the oxen for the burnt sacrifice and the threshing instruments. And it says there that David offered burnt offerings and he offered peace offerings. And if we flip over to 1 Chronicles 21, the difference that we find twofold. First Chronicles 21, verse 22. I'll just read it. Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing floor, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. The threshing floor was where the wheat was gathered in and was beaten out, and the wheat was separated from the hull, from the straw, and there that grain was presented. But we might say, what's the significance of that? Well, I think the significance is that David was willing to purchase this threshing floor with the oxen, which cost 50 shekels of silver. For the wheat, he was willing to pay 600 shekels of gold. I've enjoyed the thought that when we look at when we look at Joseph, he's often portrayed as a type of Christ in the Old Testament. He was betrayed for 20 pieces of silver. When we turn to the New Testament, we read about the Lord Jesus being betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And so if we add those two together, what do we get? We have 50. I've enjoyed the thought that perhaps that is, and I don't want to seem disrespectful, but perhaps that is what our redemption cost. Silver is often connected with redemption. And so here was David. He went to this threshing floor. He was instructed to buy it, to build an altar, and to offer sacrifices upon it. And in Kings we have that. We have that redemptive work brought before us. The burnt offering, and we have the peace offering. But we turn over to 1 Chronicles, we get the Lord's perspective of what really took place here. It did not cost 50 shekels of silver in 1 Chronicles, but it cost 600 shekels of gold. 600 is 20 times 30. Gold speaks of divine righteousness. And I believe that the value of that wheat for the meat offering or the meal offering was worth that extra price. And I can't say with any authority how much 50 shekels of silver is worth in our currency, or how much 600 shekels of gold is worth in our currency. Perhaps someone knows that, and I would be interested to find out. But the significance, I think, is there. And let us turn over to Leviticus, the first chapter, just to go over for a moment the offerings. chapter 1, it speaks in the second verse of the children of Israel bringing an offering unto the Lord. This is the burnt offering. And as we have been taught, the burnt offering speaks of the obedience of Christ. We can turn to John's Gospel, the 4th, 5th, and 6th chapters, I believe, very clearly bring before us the Lord's desire, and that was to do His Father's will. Came not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. My meat is to do the Father's will. And so we have the obedience, I believe, in the burnt offering, as others have instructed us. And David was going to offer that burnt offering there at that threshing floor, and it was a sacrifice unto the Lord. And then, if we skip the second chapter and go to the third, we have the peace offering. Again, as older ones have spoken of and written, that the peace offering speaks of fellowship. And I think it's very important that we realize where the fellowship, who the fellowship should be with. Again, it's a peace offering. It's unto the Lord. It was to be without blemish. And so I think it's helpful if we turn to the first epistle of John, the first chapter, we get the importance of fellowship. And perhaps we can flip over to that just for a moment. 1 John chapter 1. And the last part of the third verse. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not that we don't have fellowship one with another, we do, but it begins first with the Father and with His Son. Many times I'm afraid we place our emphasis on fellowship with each other before fellowship with the Father. And that, speaking for myself, gets me into difficulty. I fail to see the importance of where my fellowship should first begin. And that's the peace offering. It's with the Father and with the Son. We have our fellowship brought in later down in the chapter with each other in the 7th verse. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so I think we have the proper order here in this first epistle of John. Well, as I said, in 1 Chronicles we have the Lord's view of what took place here. And we have the wheat for the meat offering or the meal offering. And we get the meal offering in the second chapter of Leviticus. And as our brother Barry spoke to us, the Lord Jesus was perfect in every aspect of His life. He was perfect in obedience. He was perfect in walk, in everything. And I can't comprehend the depth of His perfection. But I believe we have that in the meal offering. Sometimes we go to a store, we may buy a sack of corn meal. And many times the corn meal can be coarsely ground and there are uneven sizes. But sometimes there is a sack of finely ground corn meal and it's very even. It's very fine. There are no coarse pieces. And I believe the Lord Jesus, in His perfectness, was like a meal. The wheat was ground to flour that was like powder. Every aspect of His life was perfect, same consistency, no lumps, no coarseness in it. And so I think that as, again, giving credit to our older brethren for instructing us, the meal offering, or the meat offering, speaks of the meal and the perfect nature of the Lord Jesus. Well, there was one thing that bothered me in reading this in 1 Chronicles. I felt like there was an ingredient that I wasn't quite getting. And it dawned on me that it was the sin offering. We have the peace offering, the burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering, the peace offering. The burnt, the meal, and the peace offerings are mentioned to us. But what about the sin offering? There's no mention made of it in that chapter in 1 Chronicles. Again, I believe it's there, but we don't see it mentioned. And I believe it's there because David said, "I have sinned. I have done wickedly." And if we look back to the early life of David, we get God's assessment of him. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure that that's the exact words, but the Holy Spirit came and dwelt upon David. At that moment, he was sanctified. And I believe it's important that we all realize that when we come to the breaking of bread on Lord's Day morning, if we're there partaking of it, there's no place for the sin offering. That's already taken place. It's already done with. We are there because the sin offering has been accomplished, the Lord Jesus. But we're there, I believe, and if I'm wrong, I'd like to be corrected. We're there, I believe, to present to the Father the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. And I believe that's what David did when he bought this threshing floor in 1 Chronicles 21. We have the value of that meal offering brought in. That's not mentioned in 2 Samuel. But I believe when David said, "I have sinned," I believe he was doing something. You don't need to turn to it. I'll just read it. That we find in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I believe when David went to offer up those offerings, that confession had taken place. The hand or the sword of the angel was stopped because he said, "I have sinned. I have done wickedly." And I believe for us to fully value and appreciate the offerings, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering, we need to do that on a daily basis. It needs to be done before we come together to remember the Lord in his death. And I again speak to myself, it's something that I don't practice often enough, but I believe these words are given to us that we do make it a habit and a part of our lives. Someone said to me not long ago that the test of our fellowship one with another comes in whether or not we can sit down to break bread at the Lord's table with someone. And I've thought a little bit about that. And I feel that there are some here. There are some in our home assemblies. There are many here in Corner Brook, in Newfoundland, in Canada, in North America, that are Christians, and they appreciate the sin offering. They value it. But does their value of it really go beyond the 50 shekels of silver? Does it stop at redemption? Or does it go on to the enjoyment of the three offerings that we have in 1 Chronicles 21 or in Leviticus 1, 2, and 3. There are some here that I know are believers that have, if you will, gotten a hold of the sin offering, but they have not had fellowship with us that sat down and enjoyed the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. And so our fellowship one with another was good up to that point. Those that did not break bread with us this morning did not partake in those offerings. And so our fellowship stopped there. Wouldn't it be nice if we could all partake of that, those offerings? As one brother has said to implied that at the remembrance, the foot of the cross is the sacrifice offering or the sin offering, and all these others spring up from that. And so I would just like to encourage those that did not have the privilege this morning of partaking and offering to God those offerings to perhaps think about that. And the fellowship, your fellowship with us is limited. And to those of us that had the privilege of sitting down and remembering the Lord in His death, partaking of those emblems, I think it's good if I dwell more on the meal offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering, recognizing what each one is in its own place and what the Father wants from us. I take that the meal offering is of tremendous value to the Father because it cost so much more. And I would judge that we barely enter into it. There's a verse in Ephesians in the 3rd chapter that speaks of the unsearchable riches of God. I believe those unsearchable riches are found in this book. We need to read it. We need to pray over it, about it. And we need to try to cultivate that art that was spoken of meditation, that is being lost, that is lost. And I guess I'm old enough that I'm old to be considered a young person, and I'm young enough to be considered too young to be called an old person, so I'm kind of in between. I think it's very important that we just sit down with the Word and meditate upon it, not expecting that when we sit down for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever it might be, that we're going to get some revelation. We may need to sit for a half hour one day, maybe 20 minutes the next day, maybe an hour before we get something from what we've read. And I believe if we are before the Lord in wanting to glean from His Word, He will give us something. I remember feeling at one point as a younger man very frustrated because I would try to read some of the older writings and felt like I was barely getting anything from it. And what I did get, it would be gone when I wanted to refer back to it. I couldn't remember who said it, where I read it, things like that. And to me, it was frustrating. But with the Lord's help, and I trust that I can pass this on to those that are younger, that with the Lord's help and due time and patience, He will reveal to you what He wants you to know. And sometimes it's not very much at first. Maybe it's just a small particle of that meal. But what He gives you is going to be good. It's not going to be coarse. It's not going to be unpalatable. What He gives you is going to be good. And it will become better if we walk in the obedience of it. And I think with each grain that He gives us, if we enjoy it and practice it, He will give us some more. So I would encourage you to spend some time reading and praying over the Word, and don't become impatient, because as our brother said, He wants to bless us in our Christian lives. He wants us to be a bright testimony and encouragement one to another. And I believe when we appreciate the meal offering, we may partly enter into what He wants us to have and enjoy in our life of obedience, worship, and service to Him.
Was one, our hearts and meekness strained to bear thy yoke and learn of thee, that we may rest. Okay. Number 174.
Oh.